What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you. Should be a beauty today in the ATX and throughout Central Texas. That'll change later in the week, but for right now, enjoy today and tomorrow for sure. But it's going to get cold. It's going to get real cold this weekend. Now, not as cold as it's going to be at Lambeau Field on Sunday night or Saturday night when the Packers play the Niners.
And dude, it was cold in Buffalo.
Now, it's not going to be that cold, but it looks like snow flurries, snow in the forecast for Greater Green Bay on Saturday night. That'll be the Niners and Packers as part of divisional weekend. But here in Austin, Texas, it's going to be mighty cold, too. It says here it'll be 74 today, 77 tomorrow, 44 for a high temperature on Thursday. And then that'll be the case Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Cold. Cold. Some of the coldest air so far, for sure.
Warmer in Pennsylvania.
Temperatures in the low temperatures down in the middle 20s. So get ready for the first big heavy freeze of 2022. That's coming your way this weekend. And we've got divisional playoff action. We're still talking Cowboys and recapping. I know this is a Monday feel for a lot of you folks who took yesterday off and enjoyed the MLK Day holiday. But we were here. But, boy, we're still talking about that game for the Cowboys as you know, I mentioned earlier, here's the tweet from Chris Sims, the former Longhorn quarterback. He says, coaches I've played for, this is Chris Sims, this is a retweet, but Chris Sims says, coaches I've played for, he says Josh McDaniel, John Gruden, Bill Belichick, say that 18 seconds is the line of demarcation when it comes to trying to get a ball, run a play without a timeout and get a ball spiked. 18, 17 at the most. And he says for the Cowboys to try to run that play with 14 seconds on the clock tells you that they don't know the mechanics of that play.
Do you realize that when Dak Prescott gave the ball to the center E and the official came in and moved the ball, Dak then removed the ball himself? I mean, he gave it a reach around.
Yeah, they were. That
he
was.
He gave it a quick reach around the center.
Well, I mean.
To move the ball again, like, okay, no, official, you're not putting it in the right place. Let my center put. No, the center's not the guy that places the ball, Dak.
Yeah, that was a much debated conversation yesterday and will be. And
look at the whole thing of how that was going on. He then got involved in it again.
Well, I mean, everything that's been said counters what the Cowboys say. Like, Tony Romo on the original broadcast saying, you know, you don't give it to the center, you give it to the official. I mean, that's the job of the coach. But for Chris Sims and other quarterbacks to say, you know what, 17, 18 seconds is about the limit. You don't go much below that. That's just the way that goes.
Yeah, that's Cowboys, a very important part of the game right there.
Oh, man.
What you're talking about.
Situational football. And that's, you know, would the Cowboys have won the game? Who knows? I mean, it overshadows the other poor play in other poor areas, the penalties and the lack of a physically tough running game.
I think they were going to throw it into the end zone and score a touchdown? No.
Well, you know.
They'd had a better chance, maybe.
Better chance, but do they have a better chance of two Hail Marys with 14 seconds or running that play? You just listen to others that have been in that role, and you know, you got to have at least over 15 seconds. Let's give Chris Sims that. You got to have more than 15 seconds. 14, you're cutting it close. And then if you're quarterback, one of two things happened. Dak Prescott either did it wrong in real time by handing it to his center, not the official, or they practice it wrong.
No, they said this is how we practice. When I heard yesterday that this is how we practice.
Well, then they're practicing it wrong.
Okay, then you guys are all dumber than I thought, because if that's how you practice it, it's wrong. Because if you said this is how we practice it, you're telling me this is what we do. We get it back to the center. No, you need to get it to the official. Get it to the referee. Let him screw up. Now, if that guy screwed up in the game and he stumbles into the center and falls down, now he can go back to the head official and say, guess what, I just screwed this up for them. They need to get 1 second on the clock. We can go back to where I fell down. You'd have a better chance of that than saying, well, I gave it to my center and we spotted the ball. No, you don't get to do that. And when you tell us this is what you do at practice, do you have officials at practice? I would think if you're an NFL team and you're running a two-minute drill a couple times a week, then you can get some high school officials to come over there. We'd love to come into Cowboy Stadium or wherever you practice and do that for you, the two-minute drill, and spot the ball. Yeah. But your center's not in charge of you flipping the ball to him and him going, okay, right here. Because in a game, then a referee's going to come in, and as I said, when Dak says the referee touches the ball, no. I've never seen a referee just touch it. I've seen them either move it back or forward, whether it's 2 inches or 2 feet or 3 yards. They don't just tap the ball and say, okay, ball in play. They don't take it upon you. They want to look good too, like, okay, we spotted it, but you spotted it 3 inches shorter than where it is. They always move the ball. They don't just tap it. They do something with the ball, forward or backwards.
No, I mean, that was all mismanaged. And that, again, the Cowboys were either practicing it wrong, repping it wrong. Or,
they said they practiced it wrong.
Or Dak did it wrong in real time, and they're covering for it at this point. But either way.
That's why I said it's hard to make up for dumb.
I mean, that's such a several layer of dumb conversation. They shouldn't have run the play in the first place.
Well, if I'm Jerry, I'm going to Jerry, the first thing, or Stephen Jones, I'm going to ask Mike McCarthy, is this the way you guys practice that? And if you say that's yes to me, this is what we do. Oh, you give it to the center? And then, okay, now you both need to come to my office because I'm going to fire you both.
Well, it also overshadows the 14 penalty game.
Well, we've seen a lot of that.
Well, how about this? There have been 276 games, counting the playoffs this season. Only four teams were ever assessed 14 penalties in a game. Cowboys did it twice this year. So there have been, of 276 games, four times a team has received 14 penalties. Cowboys did it half the time, including in the biggest game. And they executed in the final 15 seconds like they did. But let's get to the headlines. Does look like Stephen Jones giving a vote of confidence to his head football coach. Top Gun, Law and Quinn Reynolds bring you the news. We'll get to the Cowboys in a moment. First, we'll start with the Monday Night Football game last night as Super Wild Card weekend wrapped up. And it was the fourth blowout of the six games this weekend. The LA Rams overwhelmed the Arizona Cardinals in all phases and rolled to a 34-11 rout. Matt Stafford picks up his first ever playoff win in his career. Threw for 202 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Had a quarterback sneak for another. And a forgettable playoff debut for young Kyler Murray. Cardinals were down 21-0 in this game before they were able to post a first down in the game. A couple of interceptions for Kyler, including a really ugly pick six, and their season comes to an end. Rams will move on to face the Buccaneers this weekend in the divisional round. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, who, if you're keeping score, were the lone win of the Arizona Cardinals in the last 6 weeks of the season. They lost 5 of 6, but beat the Cowboys. And then the Cowboys lose their playoff opener with the 49ers. Yesterday, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones squashed speculation about the future of the head coach Mike McCarthy. He appeared on the Fan Radio in Dallas yesterday, a day after the Cowboys lost that game to the 49ers. Was asked whether he was confident that McCarthy would be back as the team's head coach, and he responded, absolutely, very confident. McCarthy is 18-16 in two seasons with Dallas. Team's coordinators busy interviewing now that their season is over. Denver Broncos were in town yesterday. George Patton, their general manager, was in Arlington reportedly to interview both Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. Quinn's got four other teams that have reached out for an interview. Three others have reached out for Kellen Moore. Out in Vegas, meanwhile, Mike Mayock has been fired as GM of the Raiders after three tumultuous seasons in college football. Congratulations to Texas freshman receiver Xavier Worthy, named yesterday a freshman All-American by the American Football Writers Association of America. College basketball, hoops tonight. Irwin Center, Chris Beard's Longhorns back in action. A couple days after that tough loss at Iowa State, they'll play Kansas State. Wildcats are off to a 1-4 start to the Big 12, but their first win came just this past Saturday when they upset previously red-hot Texas Tech to earn that first victory. In the NBA, very busy schedule of hoops action on MLK Day, including the Dallas Mavericks eking one out over Oklahoma City, 104-102. Spurs, a home loser to Phoenix, 121-107. Devin Booker, 48 points in the win for the Suns.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Start the new year off right by winning a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey when you rent, buy, or fix your construction or lawn equipment here at Top Gun. TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
Someone said, can't you tip off the bag judge? I said, well, yeah, you can tip him off, but if you don't give him the ball and you give it to your center, then you can tip him off all you want to. If that dude, if you give it to him and he stumble bums into your center and falls down and doesn't get the ball marked the right way, then there's a reason for, you know, the head official to say, oh, no, there's still 1 second left on the clock or whatever you're trying to do. But if you give it to your center, automatically you're wrong.
Agreed. And, you know, let's go back to the beginning. You're automatically, if you listen to other coaches.
You've already run a draw, quarterback draw.
With not enough time.
Right.
Based on what other, if Chris Sims is accurate, that that's the line of demarcation when he's played for John Gruden or Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniel, the line is 17, 18 seconds. So you're already taking a chance because you're 4 seconds under what the norm is. So, yeah, and then if you execute it poorly. But, again, that conversation pales in comparison to the overall performance in the game for the Cowboys and the performance in the year. You know, it's amazing. Think about this. We talk about this game and their season. You know, the Cowboys were a 500-point offense this year as a team. They scored over 500 points. And it's not just offense. You score on defense, and the Cowboys had a lot of defensive scores, but they were a 500-point scoring team. There have only been 28 of those in NFL history, all qualified for the playoffs, but only two were eliminated in the wild card round, Cowboys this year and the 2000 St. Louis Rams eliminated. And, you know, that speaks to the frustration. This team scored a lot of points, but they really scored a lot of points against bad teams. When the Cowboys got up against good teams, 17 was not going to beat the 49ers. I think most Cowboy fans would have told you that before the game started. We only score 17, we're not winning.
Right.
They played the Chiefs this year and scored 9. They played the Cardinals a few weeks ago and scored 22. Yeah, you scored 500 points, but what did you do against good teams? What did you score when it mattered? What did your quarterback and your offensive line and your offense do against teams, the kind of teams you have to beat to get there? And I know this might be an ad nauseum conversation because we've said this all year long, but now it's come to roost. You're not going to beat the Giants in a playoff game, and you're not going to meet the Washington football team in a playoff game.
No.
You're going to play these kind of teams. And are you disciplined enough, well-coached enough, dynamic enough, and tough enough, mentally and physically, to beat them? Answer again for the Cowboys is no. And now you're hearing Stephen Jones saying, absolutely, Mike McCarthy will be back after 18 and 16. Okay, then, you know,
then get ready for the same thing for Cowboys fans.
I believe, I got to go check the record here, I believe they were the most penalized team a year ago, or at least the top three team in penalties. This year, they were the most penalized team in pro football. And that's the same head coach coming back. And you may lose both coordinators. So there's a frustration to that for Cowboys fans. And maybe it's just more of the same. But this is a very talented football team. That's the one thing.
Oh, well, 500 points. I mean, you just said it. They are very talented.
I mean, 500 points despite the
I still thought they lost issue. A little bit of – well, they lost a little bit of that physicality stuff when guys started getting hurt. But everybody has those things happen to them. They just didn't – you know, And the mental part is that the deal that, you know, guys trying to time off, getting off on the count and stuff, continuing to do that 5-yard penalties here, 5-yard. I mean, just more and more penalties. Wait till the ball is snapped. You can go. You can still make the play.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. 14 penalties. The yardage that goes with that. The hidden yardage. And I think almost half of those 14 penalties were pre-snap.
And you're bailing out the other team. You're just bailing them out. They don't have to do anything.
No, it's frustrating. And we'll see. I mean, we've already illuminated a little bit the cap issues the Cowboys are going to deal with. I saw John Machota, who covers the Cowboys for The Athletic. He's already tweeted this morning that there's talk that Amari Cooper may have to be released because he's just such a cap hit. We talk about you can't release Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, you can't do anything with that contract. It's such an anchor for them. But Amari Cooper's making huge money, and you probably could still be a pretty good passing team with the other receivers you have on the roster right now, especially if Michael Gallup comes back. Amari Cooper's a big-ticket player. Dak Prescott's a $34 million cap hit this year. And, you know, people don't want to hear about salary cap, but that's going to become a pressing topic for the Cowboys. And, you know, it just goes to the coaching conversation because Dan Quinn got more out of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't pay their defense like they pay their offense. They don't pay that defense what the offense makes. Defense, you know, is a lot of young guys. Micah Parsons was a revelation. DeMarcus Lawrence is the highest paid player on the defensive side of the ball. Other than that, some pretty cheap talent on that side of the ball, and they played. I don't think they're a great defense, but they were opportunistic. And again, in this game,
they got you a lot of points too.
They did well, and they kept you in this game. They kept you in this game while your offense was scuffling around and scuttling. They gave up a touchdown early, but then forced field goals, and then you know they gave up a touchdown after Dak Prescott threw a really bad interception that led to a short field, and Deebo Samuel ripped off a run for a score. But you give up two touchdowns to the 49ers and some field goals. That's not terrible. Especially with one, when one of those touchdowns came courtesy of a Dak interception, defense played good enough to win that game. Offense did not, and that's what they have to address in this offseason. Meanwhile, the Cardinals last night, Buck, I don't want to make it about the Cardinals because I know it's Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, but Rams looked awesome.
I thought they did last night.
I mean, that becomes the question. How much of that was the Rams maybe kicked this thing in gear, or the Cardinals continued their El Foldo routine down the stretch? I think it was a little of both. But, man, that Rams
The Rams were going to run the ball last night. That was their intentions, and they didn't get away from that.
They
set it all up.
Their lines of scrimmage were impressive last night because Von Miller. I was watching, it's funny about that. I flipped over and watched the Manning brothers for a little bit doing their deal last night, which was pretty cool. I like watching those guys. They had The Rock on. They had Russell Wilson as a guest. And by the way, The Rock was on there. You know, your guy from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania?
Yes, Freedom High School.
The superstar, The Rock. And according to reports, so The Rock was sitting there in this, I guess, office room of his, study on Zoom. And behind him, there was this big T-Rex skull, like this giant sculpture of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Well, now there's folks who have seen this and estimated that's a $30 million T-Rex that he purchased. They asked him about it.
He's got a year of Dak's salary,
dude,
behind him.
Your guy, The Rock, has done pretty well. But, yeah, there's the T-Rex. You see that thing back there? Folks have estimated that's $30 million.
Come on, Rock.
He was funny, though. He was good. He talked about his days playing at Miami, talked about the emergence of Ray Lewis. But the point of my saying I saw that last night is Von Miller had a sack, and looking like young Von Miller. His first, by the way, postseason sack since they won the Super Bowl in Denver.
Yeah, he got up underneath that dude.
Well, Peyton Manning then tells the story that he said Von Miller is the best athlete I've ever played with.
Wow.
Best athlete I've ever played with. He said, when I got to Denver, that dude blew. He used to wreck our passing game, but then he would go out and cover our wide receivers and actually cover them. He said he's the freakiest athlete I've ever played with. Vertical jump, explosiveness, and, you know, obviously he's Super Bowl MVP and a future Hall of Famer for a reason. But that's what the rest of the NFC and now Tom Brady have to deal with. And I'll say this, Buck, when you look forward to the divisional round, Tristan Wirfs, their Pro Bowl right tackle in Tampa, got hurt. They've got some offensive line injuries. Keep an eye on the Rams because Donald
and the
Von
center,
Miller.
And the center can't feel all that good. I know he came back in the game.
He's got to
be hurting. Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Jensen. So if you got a bit of a dinged up, banged up Buccaneers O-line with those dudes.
And Tom Brady being in that one spot.
Tom Brady, you know where he'll be. And, you know, I don't know if Leonard Fournette's going to play in this game. That could be a big factor because he's got to be able to run the ball to slow down that pass rush. That Rams team just looked unbelievable. How about Odell Beckham? You folks finished the statement. That's the best Odell Beckham has looked since when? That dude looked good.
Since he was on fire with the Giants doing hair commercials.
Explosive,
head
twitchy,
and shoulder commercials.
Sudden, throwing passes, catching passes, fade routes. I mean, some of those cuts on those crossing routes when he would be breaking guys' ankles. I thought Odell looked great. And, of course, Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp.
And if I get that letter from him, he'll do even better, Zay. All he needs to do is send one letter, and I'll bring my good mojo to him.
Yeah, I think you got to send that to Hollywood now.
Which one?
The letter. It needs to go to Hollywood. You need to make another one.
I do?
Yeah,
I think you do,
Beckham's gone to Hollywood, man. Odell, OBJ, this says the Manning Show will not be renewed, thank God. Really? Well, you mean you don't have to watch it. What do you mean? You don't like it, don't watch it. I like it. I like the guests. I enjoy listening to The Rock talk some football. There's so much dead time in a Monday Night Football game.
What is The Rock doing? When is his group starting? Are they next year, right?
I don't know.
I think
the XFL?
It's next year.
When is next year the XFL will come back? They probably asked about that. I probably missed that part. I was just too busy looking at the T-Rex.
Oh, well, he's got $30 million T-Rex bones in the background. Come on, man.
That dude, you know, he made a wise choice quitting football and making movies. That guy's made a lot of money.
And going to wrestling, that's where it all started.
Wrestling.
Yes.
But the movies, he's one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, is he not? Makes these blockbusters. It's huge movies. Now he's making like love stories and stuff.
Come on, Rock.
Can't believe he's from your hometown. But there
Scrub.
We go.
Scrub.
All right, so there's the end of Wild Card Weekend.
Stealing reps from somebody.
Bills, Chiefs, Rams, and the Buccaneers looking primed for runs. Meanwhile, the Titans and Packers sit back, wait. And we're getting into the divisional weekend this weekend. Cowboys wondering what the next steps will be. I watch Mike McCarthy, and I think that can't be the guy. Here's what you think.
And I'm not saying that the guy is dumb. There are people who are saying, yeah, because he's dumb. No, the guy's not dumb.
I just don't think he's it. I mean, Jason Garrett's teams were more disciplined than Mike McCarthy's team.
That's hard to believe.
That Well, I mean, they were. And I know Jerry saw bells or heard bells or whatever when he met
bells.
With them.
Yes.
But, you know, 2 years of evidence would indicate underachievement.
I heard bells.
And it was my, you have to hold him accountable for all the decisions, right? The defensive staff he hired year one was an abject failure. Then the Joneses said, you know what, they're out. We're going to go hire Dan Quinn because he's available, and he came in and did a great job. But what Mike McCarthy fingerprints are on this franchise right now? I mean, what is it?
14 penalties the other day. That's what's on it.
That's kind of what I'm wondering.
Back-to-back years.
I mean, my credit this year was Dan Quinn improving the defense.
Thinking he was going to make Dak a star.
Micah Parsons is just, a revelation as a draft pick and a generational-type player that you've brought into the fold. But I don't know what Mike McCarthy is bringing to the table. What is it? I mean, because if you have an offensive coordinator that everybody wants to hire or interview, a defensive coordinator everybody wants to hire and interview.
And but a head coach that you're the only one that wants.
And you're the CEO, and your job is discipline, game plan, like overall CEO stuff, right?
Right.
The important game, tactical game decisions, clock management, execution. That's all failure. That's all not good.
But dude, he basically got run out of Green Bay by one of his players.
Well, soon to be two-time MVP was one of those players, Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I just I think you can do better, I guess is what I would say, than Mike McCarthy. And I think if you come back with him and you lose one or both coordinators, that's a step backwards.
Yeah, because you're putting a lot of pressure on him. Well, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him anyway. Can he take that kind of pressure next year?
But and this all goes to the top with Jerry Jones. We know Jerry Jones always wants a coach that he can control. And, you know, the word puppet is used, but he wants a guy that, you know, he didn't like the whole Bill Parcells idea of my team, not yours. And that's where you get Jason Garrett and now Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy has said, I don't mind Jerry being Jerry. I'm just going to coach the team. That's a role he relishes, and I think it works for both sides. Because if you actually go out and fire Mike McCarthy and make a run at a guy like Sean Payton and see if he'd be interested in sneaking out of New Orleans, what's Sean Payton going to ask for? Control.
Yes.
Not coming without control, Jerry. Well, let me keep Mike then.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's what a great coach is going to ask for.
I've got to believe that they've already had that conversation, those two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want control. Sorry. You're not going to get control.
Roster control.
This is my team.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, a really strong-minded coach would say, I'm not taking this job, Jerry, unless you stay off the radio 3 times a week. I mean, we can't have this.
No, I got to be on. Sorry.
I'll speak for the team. I'll be the voice. No, that's Jerry.
Yeah, they'd be better off having that group from Nickelodeon become the leading the team.
Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you all that. Zay, at your wedding, on my phone, I was having to stream the Nickelodeon broadcast because for some reason I couldn't get my local CBS channel on my DirecTV stream. It was like blocked out.
And they were throwing the glob or
so
whatever.
So I was
that
watching the
was.
Nickelodeon broadcast, man. I was doing the slime.
Slime everywhere.
Kids. There's, you know, when you turn upload, the kids are doing the broadcast. They got kids on the sidelines. It was very funny. I mean, same game. It's just the graphics a little different.
Yeah, shout out to Nickelodeon catching George Kittle swearing on the field, dropping the F-bomb.
No.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did they beep it in time?
Nope.
They didn't?
Nah.
Well, let me tell you, you put that mic down here, you're going to get that. A lot.
I saw a quote from Mike Shanahan saying, I'm afraid of George Kittle. When George Kittle gets excited, I start to run and hide because that guy is a maniac. Because they asked Kyle Shanahan, because after Trey Lance threw a touchdown pass against the Texans, and George Kittle ran over and did like a chest bump with him, and like they were, he could hurt the guy. He's your quarterback. They asked Shanahan about that. He said, yeah, when he gets all hyped up, I run and hide because
he's out of it, huh?
You never know what he'll do to you.
Gosh.
Come over and slam you full pad. We'll come back. We pick up these frustrating Cowboy conversations. Not like we haven't had them before, but love to hear from you on it. We'll have a Craig Way report. We'll have salacious gossip. And then your time to shine, the Blitz before the end of the hour.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Big Jenny, with you. It's a Tuesday. Isaiah Collier back producing our program. Looking forward now to the divisional playoffs. Looking back at the wild card teams that are dispatched. And will there be some more coaching vacancies? Several folks saying the coaching staff next year should actually be Dan Quinn, head coach, Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach, but we're going to lose both of them and be stuck with McCarthy. Very well could be. T-Bone texted and asked when I was going to retweet the video of the fight in Tampa this weekend. I just did that. Just did that. The Eagles
is that every week pummeled at NFL games? I mean, massive fights.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it. Zay sends me a video every Tuesday. Hey, look.
There's some guy getting jacked up or some female getting jacked up, too.
Somebody mentioned that the Manning Brothers show has not been canceled. It may actually get moved to Thursday nights next year. Instead of the Monday night game, do it Thursday night for the Mannings. You know, it's not award-winning, I mean, but it's fun. I can still listen to Steve Levy and Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick, or I can listen to Peyton and Eli goof around and talk to fun people and... You still see, you know, and that's the thing about a live game like that. Like on Sundays, when I have the DirecTV package, I like to watch all the games, so I don't really wait for commercials. I kind of bounce and flip and put it on the screen with all the games going. So, but then you get to a standalone game like you get in the playoffs, you're back to there's so much downtime.
Right. I mean, you don't get, we're all Caesars. You don't get to get any of those good commercials?
Yeah, I did this weekend because there's nowhere to flip to. And last night was bad because the Cardinals just had no chance. So they're like, man, this game's not even watchable. The Rams are...
You knew by halftime that thing was done.
You by the third series. I mean, when Kyler threw that little hand grenade thing, they got pick sixed, and they hadn't even gotten a first down yet.
And he's got nobody to throw it to. Christian Kirk?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins' injury is big for them, there's no question. And A.J. Green, what's left of A.J. Green... That's a part of it, but at the same time, you knew that going in. And, Cliff Kingsbury looked like, you know what Cliff looked like? You used to call Les Miles the deer in the headlights.
Dude, that dude was sweating last night. I've never seen that dude sweat.
Cliff looked like glowing. Deer in the headlights.
He was glowing last night. I'm like, why are you glowing? Why are you sweating, Cliff? You never sweat.
Well, I think that was a not a good performance. It was the Arizona Republic described it as the final pillar to the collapse, and that's how they're describing it. Because remember, this was a 10-2 football team that lost 5 of 6.
Yeah, the quarterback was up for MVP.
I mean, they were 7-0 / and then 10-2. They hit their bye week and just collapsed. And that's a common theme of a Cliff Kingsbury team, as we said earlier. If you go back to his days at Texas Tech, you know, end of season collapses very common for Cliff teams. And you know, that's a fair question in Arizona. You know, what's going on? Like, what happens? I think the normal thing would be, okay, you come in with your plan from the offseason, you work all offseason to build a game plan and what your team's going to be about, but by midseason, you're figured out. And the opposing team's got you, and especially when you're playing like a team like the Rams who's seen you 3 times.
But this is a team that's beat the Rams, correct?
Beat them for the first matchup. Beat them bad in L.A. And then the Rams won both of the next two, and, you know, that's what, you know, the league's going to make adjustments to what you're doing and take that away. Do you have your counterpunch? And at least, you know, well, his career would tell you that Cliff does not have a counterpunch. Once you stop what he's doing, that's it. I don't have anything else. And, it feels like Kyler goes as Cliff goes. When Cliff maybe gets a little rattled, Kyler gets a little rattled, and that was a destruction last night in the desert, no doubt about that.
But I did like seeing the running back from the Rams get back in there.
He'll be a factor back moving forward.
Will.
Cam Akers. And
they'll need him this week.
That'll be a storyline against the Buccaneers because he's back. Sony Michel's running hard and tough. And here
Cam
comes.
Akers can make things happen deep. Like you said, you can drop a screen off and that guy can go house call.
Remember, Cam Akers followed Dalvin Cook to Florida State and they were very similar players. And then Dalvin Cook exploded into the NFL and here came Cam Akers and looked like he was on a similar trajectory. And the next thing you know, he suffers the injury this summer, and that's when they made the trade for Sony Michel.
I didn't know he was so explosive like that.
Well, now you look forward, and now you got Sony Michel and Cam Akers. And the Buccaneers side of that game this week is, do they get Leonard Fournette back, which will be big for them because he's really become a – this year when he became kind of the focal point of their offense. Well, these games this weekend are so good. I mean, there's – It's the GOAT and Tom Brady against this Rams team that's just loaded with star power. We may have snow on the ground and snow coming down at Lambeau Field for Packers and 49ers with Kyle Shanahan's team on a roll after beating Dallas. And can't say enough. I mean, AFC, you got the Tennessee Titans, maybe with Derrick Henry back, hosting Joe Burrow and this red-hot Bengals team.
Right. Give me some of those little early lines so I can give you a – let me give you – I can give you a
– They're all three. They're all three.
All of them are three, except for the one is five.
One's five, but Packers are a five-point favorite over – that's probably 2 points for Jimmy Garoppolo interceptions, as the Cowboys found out. He'll keep you in the game. But I mean, before he threw that pick, the 49ers were dominating the Cowboys on the road. So you have to say that the Niners are playing really good football and will present a big challenge for the Packers. But the Packers have not just had 1 week off. They've essentially had 2 weeks off. Remember, they rested a lot of guys against the Lions in the final week of the regular season. They'll be fresh.
God, if Cincinnati protects Joe Burrow, look out.
Yeah, that secondary in Tennessee can be had. And Tennessee kind of lulls you to sleep. But this Joe Burrow character, big-time player. Jamar Chase, big-time player. T. Higgins, big-time player. So, yeah, they're all three-point lines except for five in Lambeau Field. Last year's AFC Championship game was Chiefs-Bills, and it was a good game, 38-24. Kansas City scored a late touchdown to secure a victory.
Giving the Bills three? Giving them a field goal?
Yeah, Kansas City beat them last year, but the Bills beat Kansas City 38-20 earlier this year at Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, that is, you know, for me, since it's back-to-back years now in the playoffs, the Josh Allen-Patrick Mahomes rivalry is going to start to remind us over time, I think, of the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady fight for the AFC. 25-year-old Josh Allen, 26-year-old Patrick Mahomes. Pat's already been to a couple of Super Bowls. Josh Allen has not yet. But his transcendent performance against the Patriots on Saturday night lets you know that he's ready. He's ready for the rematch.
No, that dude is the best player on the field.
By a mile.
Period, yes. He's playing at another level.
And Bill Belichick, you just see him over there looking at him. I don't have an answer. This is a good defense we've got here. He is shredding us.
And I mean, when a big 6'4", 6'5 guy comes to your secondary guys and starts shaking him like he was Gale Sayers, that's different, man.
Well, he's just playing with so much confidence. It's almost, and it's funny that he talked about going into the game Saturday night that he was embarrassed about the way he played. Remember that wind game?
Right.
When it went so windy at Buffalo and they lost, he felt like he let Bill Belichick get in his head and he was thinking too much. He said, you know what, I'm just going to play. I'm just not going to overthink this, not think about what, you know, secrets Belichick's
trying to throw. There was something about him saying, I worked too hard, or I did so. I overthought the game the first time. That time
overthought,
we played.
Right?
Yeah, just I was thinking too much.
I was looking
much
for things instead of just reacting and playing and letting Belichick get in my head. And so the successive two matchups that they had, you know, Josh Allen's 8 touchdowns, no picks, 2 pretty easy Buffalo victories over that New England team. And you know, New England's not Kansas City, I know that. But here come the Chiefs. That is a must-see football game at Arrowhead Stadium to wrap up divisional weekend, because you can argue. I know Tennessee's a nice team and a good team, not sleeping on them, or Cincinnati, but that just feels like the AFC Championship game. And maybe the Super Bowl champ, I don't know. That's how good those two teams are and those two quarterbacks are. But, you know, you still got the GOAT. You still got Aaron Rodgers. You still got the 49ers.
You can believe this, and the city of Buffalo will be burnt down if that happens, if they win this. If they get to that part where they can win the Super Bowl,
well, and they will long-suffering fan base.
Oh, and they will own their that division for a long time, and that's what Bill Belichick's looking at. This is the guy I got to face twice a year.
Well, and I think that's what we talked about that earlier. When you're, you know, firing Mike Mayock in Vegas, I mean, you got to figure out how to beat Patrick Mahomes, and now you got to figure out how to beat Justin Herbert in that division. Now the coach kind of beat themselves this year with the Chargers, but you got to figure he'll get that figured out. That division's crazy, but yes, AFC East, which was dominated by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady for 2 decades, it now feels like Josh Allen and his division for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, the changing of the guard in the AFC North with Joe Burrow. That AFC North, which has for so long been Ben Roethlisberger, Lamar Jackson in the Ravens division.
Yeah, there's going to be some big turnover. When you lose Ben Roethlisberger to Pittsburgh, their next guy up is not on their team right now.
Well, ask the Bills.
I believe.
Mean, how hard it is to find the next guy? It's not easy. I mean, ask the Cowboys. Ask the Miami Dolphins, who haven't replaced Dan Marino yet. It's not that easy. You feel like the Steelers will do it, But, you know, not everybody's fortunate like the Packers who go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
True, who waited around for it for years.
Yeah. I mean, those franchise quarterbacks, and now if you're Cincinnati, you're Buffalo, you're Kansas City, you are the LA Chargers, you feel like you got your guy. If you're in the AFC, well, why do you think, even though he's got all the issues, Deshaun Watson is such an interesting commodity this offseason?
Because he's 24, 25 years old.
And he may give you a chance against all these guys. If you're those kind of guys who have already played 3-4 really good years in the NFL at that age, they don't come available that often. Teams don't let them go. So
somebody's trying to get me to lock in Green Bay 5.5. No, thank you. I'm not locking that in.
I might.
49ers are reaching there, are getting. Yeah, it's. Yeah, they didn't win the division, but you know what? I'm not worried about them right now. Their physicality is good.
Well, at least in the first weekend, the Rams and the Bills looked the best as far as that. I mean, Buccaneers close third, Chiefs right there, those four teams. But Bills and Rams just looked unstoppable. But, you know, can they carry that on? It's one game. That one game does not a playoffs make, and that's the situation we have into the weekend. But to the Deshaun Watson thing, we'll get to John McClain this week and talk to him down in Houston, the Chronicle, because the Texans have to hire a head coach. We've got to figure out what they're doing with just John Watson. That becomes an interesting story.
Are they really going to hire another guy from New England Patriots? Are they going to hire Mayo?
Gerard Mayo, yeah.
Mayonnaise.
He's a rising name in the coaching industry, the linebackers coach of the New England Patriots. And, you know, the Texans already interviewed Brian Flores. So we'll see where that goes now that David Culley's been fired after just one season. And are the Cowboys going to stick and stay with their current guy? Mikey Mack.
No, because once Jerry and Steven say it's done deal, it's a done deal. Once they go on the radio, once they get to their show.
Yeah, Steven said it yesterday.
Okay.
Steven Jones was asked about Mike McCarthy. He says, do you feel confident McCarthy would be back? And he said, absolutely, very confident. But has he talked to Dad yet?
The check writer.
Because I watched Hard Knocks, and I saw Jerry Jones sitting in his big office at Star Complex talking about, this is a year we got to win the Super Bowl. This is a Super Bowl team. He's not happy. They didn't even get out of the first weekend. We'll be back. Load up your blitz Tuesday. This is going to feel like a Monday for a lot of you coming off the three-day weekend. Bring that strong 447-3776. Let's a little gossip in there first. Seaway.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. You know that. Powered by the Bud Light skis. Hope you had a few last night. Might have needed them if you were a Cardinals fan watching that game. Wow. But Bud Light usually makes the good times great. The great times unforgettable. But forgettable game for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Great game for the Rams last night. They were outstanding. But Bud Light will be with you even as it gets cold this weekend. Divisional playoffs. Live music in Austin, Texas. Whatever you're doing, you do it with the ice cold Bud Light. The world's favorite light beer. Maybe out at the Longhorn Hoops game tonight. Watching the Horns. And what was Chris Beard talking about? We'll reset that coming
chicken
up next hour.
Chicken finger burger sandwich.
The Chuba or whatever. They're giving out the
Chuba Hubber.
No, the Hub. The
Hub Chub.
Hub Chub tonight. First 750 students on hand at the FEC tonight get a free honey butter chicken biscuit. But you can go get your
bring
happy
that extra
hour pricing on the
you.
Bud Light skis. Hey, Buck. Zay, you guys like to binge eat stuff? You like binge eat ice cream. I know that.
I do, but not anymore. No, when I'm not trying to be healthy, yes.
So a woman in our salacious gossip, she went all-you-can-eat sushi on an all-you-can-eat sushi binge, and she wound up in the ER.
That's got to do something to your colon, right?
Yeah, she was on TikTok. You know, she's trying to make, you know, trying to go
trying to make
go
that
viral.
17 million like that high schooler.
She went to an all-you-can-eat sushi place.
Oh.
Scarfed 32 pieces of sushi plus some other stuff. Ended up in the ER with a severe case of acid reflux. So don't binge eat. That's gross.
That's what happens to me with white rice right now. And that's what happened to her because there's rice in there. See all those little things?
Oh, yeah. That's all the rolls, the spring. What do they call those? The sushi rolls?
Yes.
Surrounded with the rice?
Yeah.
It's never safe. All you can eat sushi, not a safe move.
Not good?
Bad on her. Basically like eating gas station sushi or buffet food.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, you're a sushi guy though, Zay, right?
Big time sushi guy.
You are?
Oh, huge.
Huge. But you don't binge eat it. You get good stuff and enjoy it.
Yeah, savor it.
mean, pretty much all you can eat anything is going to be dangerous for you, is it not?
Except for if you're eating 7-Eleven pizza, you can eat all night long.
You're gross.
Come on, man.
You're gross. Hey, load up the Blitz, 447-3776. You know, when I was growing up, Zay and Buck, you know, if you're a guy like me in the suburbs and you were wearing, like, gold chains and, you know, hip-hop shoes, they'd call you a poser.
Come on, poser.
They call you a poser. Remember that back in the day? I knew many a guy that got called a poser. Well, how about this? Eli Manning last night on the Manning Brothers show, Snoop Dogg, as a man of his word, gave Eli Manning a Death Row Records chain, a Death Row chain that my man Eli threw on and was wearing during the broadcast. Zay, is that a poser move or is that for real? Because he came from Snoop Dogg.
I'm with it. I don't think that's a poser at all. He got it a few weeks ago, been rocking it. Suge Knight wore that chain.
Did he?
I don't know about that exact one, but he wore a Death Row chain.
Suge Knight took that off of somebody, too.
True.
Oh.
And had to cut their head off to get it.
Posers.
Took it off just an empty net. Just shoulders.
You know, I'm sure you see posers out at the country club, Buck, that show up with their brand new clubs and brand new golf. They can't play golf, but they got all brand new stuff.
I don't know. I would be the poser. Are you kidding me? I would be the poser.
We got a lot of posers these days that are watching Yellowstone. All of a sudden, they run out to like Cavenders and they buy all new poser clothes, like they work on a ranch or something, the 6666 or whatever. Come on, man. You're working at the Dutton Ranch all of a sudden. Hey, how about this? So, remember Travis Scott? Travis Scott, he of the...
The crazy
Astroworld Calamity. Now, he's been pretty much in tragedy. He's been kind of quiet on the down low. Haven't seen much of Travis Scott of late after that tragedy down in Houston. Well, he was at the Rams-Cardinals game last night and got a stinky surprise. A sewage pipe burst in the brand new stadium right near his suite. Sewage! We're used to this in the Washington
what
football.
What is up with this sewage at these beautiful stadiums now?
Well,
the one in Washington is not a beautiful stadium.
No, that's a dump. FedEx Field.
But this one's brand ass new now.
Yeah, so Travis Scott was there, and his party was none too pleased because it didn't, you know, that goes. You end up with a cracked pipe. We also want to say from that game, we're glad to see that Buda Baker is okay. He had to be taken to the hospital last night after that scary.
Was that late?
No, it was in the third quarter.
Okay, that was like when I was asleep?
Yeah, well,
by the time I was asleep.
Go to bed at 28-0, I think that was fine.
Yes.
No, he went low to try to tackle Cam Akers, and head went sideways, and they had to do the whole put him on a stretcher thing, went to the hospital. Happy to report that he's doing okay this morning.
How's my guy from Philadelphia? Is that dude okay? He's gone. He was already out the stadium and gone.
Who?
Guy from Philadelphia, the Eagles. The other guy, number 20. Because he got...
Oh, that in the fight
got,
we retweeted?
Yeah, that dude got beat down.
Yeah, well, he got pummeled after his buddy started a fight, and he took off, and he got his ass whooped.
He certainly did, man. That's not right when three guys jump on you. You know what I mean? Somebody said NFL fans are the worst.
It appears. I mean, I don't go to a lot of NFL games. I go to a lot of UT football games. I don't see that happening in the stands at UT games. You know, because I'm sitting up in the Bud Light suite looking down. I don't see a lot of fights happening down there.
Looking
but
down at the folks down below.
I don't see them fighting, but...
He's throwing, hey, here's some wings. While y'all fight, here's a couple wings. Throw some wings down and some shrimp.
Shrimp.
Here's some shrimp. Maybe that'll cool you off. Yeah, wow.
Man, it looks hot down there. All right, let's go to your Blitz.
Here's some shrimp. Blitz. The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, first Blitzer, you are up.
You know, some days you guys are posers, some days Blitzers are posers. And I heard that the Cowboys wanted to adopt MLK as one of their holidays, too, because everyone has a dream.
Wow.
Cowboys are posers as no Super Bowl contenders for sure.
Next Blitzer, you're up. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Did somebody say all you can eat? This is Mike McCarthy.
Oh, God. See, we don't have to go there with the coach. That's not necessary. Next,
what does he do?
Huh?
Like, what is it he does, Mike McCarthy? What is his role? Does he call plays? Does he manage the
clock?
He's
in charge of the 2-minute drill at practice.
What does he do here?
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Commitment and creativity. in the run game is winning football, no matter how many rules they change. Coach Sark, take note.
Take note early. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yes.
Man, will you send me the link to that tsunami on Pornhub?
That's not where that volcano came from. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Tonga.
Buck and E.
What's up, man?
I gave Tavo a death row change, and he sold and bought that damn ice cream truck y'all be in.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bev. Tony? Yeah, hey, did you guys say that lady ate 32 Susies? That's nothing.
No, sushi. Sushimi.
Sushi. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Aaron, you know damn well there ain't no real sushi in Austin. The real sushi comes from California. Ain't that right, Beth?
Oh. California.
I've heard
sushi.
Of some good places. I mean, I'm not the biggest sushi connoisseur. My wife hates it, so we don't get that much. But they've some good stuff, Zay.
Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, I always like to play owner for one day, and if I was Jerry, I'd get rid of Colombo and find Bill Callahan, the best offensive line coach in history.
Now, has Bill Callahan been with the Cowboys before?
Oh, yeah, and that was when they had their best offensive lines.
Bring him back. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Sumo McCarthy is in charge of the donuts. That's it. Nothing else.
Come on,
and
man.
And the McGriddles for Jerry.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Mike McCarthy, don't worry about what people say. Hey, meet me here at the buffet. This is Kevin Sumlin.
Wow.
Oh, no. Oh,
shut it down. Sumlin's here for the new year.
Let's go home.
That's rough.
I like the chain on Eli.
Eli? Doesn't look poser? It no. Doesn't look like it looks
it
on.
Just looks
like,
weird with the sweater, with the sweater
yeah,
with the tie.
Yeah, because he's wearing this preppy little outfit.
Yeah.
It sort of doesn't look like Suge Knight or anything.
No. Man, oh man.
Hey, we'll pick up these conversations. And yeah, we'll ask that question. You know, we're having those here at the station this week, these one-on-one meetings with the bosses. Like,
yes.
And what is it you do here? Hey, look, what is it you do here?
McCarthy has...
Is that what McCarthy's getting today?
He has to blow the whistles when they change sessions at practice. You know, next session, or they have the horn, you know. That's what it is, the horn. He's the guy who blows the horn.
I bet he doesn't. He's got a guy for that.
He's got a guy. You're right. He doesn't do that.
What is it you do here, Mike? We'll ask that question. Also, the other coaching vacancies. Cowboys coordinators are going to be busy this week doing interviews. And we'll continue to look forward to the divisional weekend. Longhorns hoops tonight. K-State in town. We'll preview. B&E on the horn.